Good evening. How y'all doing tonight? Good, good. Got some announcements for us today. we got the bad time change coming up. The bad one. Lose a whole hour. So this next March 10th, we're going to lose an hour. This Sunday evening activities, or there's no Sunday evening activities this March 14th, and then we're going to have that early sunrise service April 1st for Easter, and that's a really cool thing. I don't know if y'all have heard about that. We're going to be doing an outreach for the community around the church, and that's being organized by the youth. That's going to be an awesome event there. So excited about those, about that, and not too excited about losing an hour of sleep. But this is a special opportunity for me to be here tonight in this very special place for me. Not only just this church, but specifically this room. This room, for most of you guys know, used to be the youth ministry room. And you guys know that, if you guys know what it used to look like, y'all know where we are standing right now is definitely an upgrade. But I was able to enjoy a lot of time here in my high school time. It's where I developed a lot of relationships, a lot of great memories. My student pastor back then was Dale Hall. Many of you know him. My youth workers were Brian and Giselle Kane. A lot of you guys know them. They're going now to be mission. The Caswells were involved while I was in high school as well, and they are still serving in the high school over there. Some faithful people. Ross and Leanne Burford, they have now since moved away. But it's been, you know, great, great relationship there that was here in this room, grown here in this room. Sam Catalano, who served here with us as well, wasn't even on staff. I think he was working at a bank. He took me and 15 other junior high boys to his one-bedroom apartment, and he fed us cheese all weekend. That's all we ate. It was outrageous. I don't know what they thought. I don't know what happened. We ate cheese all weekend. That's all we ate. But we had a D-Now weekend. These relationships. Now Sam is the administrative pastor here at Kelview, and it's just so cool to see that progression over here in these rooms. To my left, you guys is right. Bob and Kay King, and Debbie and David Harris were my Sunday school teachers. My snot-nosed self, you know, being there in class and causing trouble like I always did. They were there faithfully. James Carroll, who's sitting right here, taught our elementary class. Had a lot of fun with him. And then David and Roy Lisa Butts, and many of you used to come pick us up in the morning on the bus and then take us back home after church. And it's great to realize all these things because they're important. Because we are here because of the people that have poured into our lives, the people who have directed us in our life along the path that has eventually brought us here to where we are today. Specifically, I remember a story at camp between speaker sessions, and I was playing basketball, and the game was definitely intense because, you know, I was playing, and I'm pretty aggressive athlete, when it comes to basketball, at least, you know, pickup game. And we finished up the game, and my youth pastor said, you know, there's something special about you. And I thought he was talking about my skills on the court, you know. And I said, you know, because everybody in my head knew I was going D1 at that point in time, you know. And to my surprise, he said, no, it's not your athletic ability, even though it's great, he said. But, you know, I've been able to see God work in your lives, even in this early time, you know, in your youth. And he says, Martin, I want you to guard that humbleness and allow God to use that in your life. He was pouring into me emotionally, and it had a huge impact in my life. And that's great to recognize. You realize these things after the fact, you know, way after the fact. And it's just so heartwarming to recall these things. Jeff Franklin, our pastor, asked me to speak about the youth and the young full adult season. Just talking about seasons right now and talking about what happens in different seasons of our life. And he's allowed me to be able to minister to this season of college and young professionals. It's that period right after high school where you are either in college or you're working and being a young professional. And that transition period. And this group gets a pretty bad rap. I'm not going to lie, you know, because they are the millennials. You know, they are this group of kids that seemingly has more problems than any other group of people that there's ever been. And I found a really cool meme that kind of describes the progression here in the 1300s. Talks about this young class in the 1300s. You know, this you didn't even live that long back then. But it says I'm dying here of the Black Plague. It says I'm here in the 1800s. It says I'm working 16 hours a day. And then 1900s, I'm off to fight a war. And then the 2000s, it says I'm offended. And this is the bad rap we see all constantly. We always see this. And I come to say today that that's not specifically true. I have a heart for these kids. I am one of these youth that is still in that transition. And I come here to share a message today that hopefully impacts y'all. Because they are looking to you guys and wanting to see what's next. What's the next step? So before we get in to the scripture, let's pray. Lord, let us have a burden and a yearning to be sympathetic with this group, with this transition, with this season of life for these young people. Let us understand what they're going through. Let's be sensitive what comes along for this group of people, specifically in this current time. And Lord, let us take action. We can encourage and love on these people that are making so many big decisions. Lord, I pray that they would carry your name, carry it great. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, excited to share this passage with you. I'm going to be covering Romans 7 and 8, a quick flyover. And we're going to start in verse 15 with Paul here writing, and for what I believe, and for what it says in verse 15, it says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." Verse 19 goes on and says, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." That is speaking about a real human condition. A real human condition that it takes quite a bit of time to understand. And I believe that these young people have this on their mind constantly. Especially young believers, and that's who I'm addressing today, is the young believers, and the young believers that are in your life. Step into a new faith as a young believer. They are aware of so many different aspects of the Christian life. But I believe, again, this is the heaviest because we have this life contradiction. We have surges, appetites, impulses of the human being. And Paul here is addressing this. He's addressing this thing that we have as being on this earth, a human being. Paul, a pastor of pastors, a leader of leaders, a Bible conference speaker, he says, as one of these people, I have these desires. I have these impulses. At the beginning of the year, like the rest of you, I make resolutions And by March 7th, I don't even remember what they were. He is describing a mortal condition that we all experience. This is a level playing field. It doesn't matter who you are or who you think the person sitting across the auditorium from you here, you think they are. They deal with this. When I was younger, I used to think, man, whenever I'm super old, like 30 years old, and I'm going to be there in my faith. In kids today, it might be 25. For you, it might be a different number. But we look at these people and we think, man, they've passed these trivial feelings and temptations, that these feelings dissipate and you become a super saint. And I want to let you know that doesn't happen. I want to go on record today that if my feelings and thoughts were to flash across the screen there, I would be very embarrassed for you guys to know those things, because they just don't flee. They just don't leave. In this very room, if I would have, where I learned, where I grew up as a youth student, if you would have told me that I would be standing here years from now teaching the adult Wednesday night Bible class, I would tell you, wow, that means by that age, by that point, I will be completely free of immature thoughts, elementary desires. By then, I will be so mature. And this is what our youth, this is what our young adults, this is what they believe. This is what they struggle with. And that's not the case. We know that's not the case. In fact, there's really only one difference from Martin back then and Martin today. You could say that, you know, I've grown and with my faith towards Jesus, and I know him more. And you could say that I love my wife more every day, and I definitely love my son more every day. And I feel like I'm making progress, but ultimately those desires are still there. But the main difference between that Martin and today's Martin is that if I act on those desires, so much more is at stake, and so many more people are affected by me acting on those desires. Paul says, again, I do not do what I know I'm supposed to do. And when I go tell my friends about that thing that I know I'm never going to do again, give me 20 minutes and I'm going to go do that again. It's this deep question that our youth have today. Paul ends chapter 7 with, what a wretched man I am, who can deliver me? And he moves in to chapter 8. And that's where we're going to get the meat and potatoes of tonight's lesson. This is what Spurgeon calls the Great Eight. It's chapter 8 from Romans. He brings resolution to these questions that he has asked in 5. Questions about the gospel of the Romans. The gospel lead to more sin? He answers in chapter 8, does the gospel lead us to live more by the law? This is where Paul concludes and answers here in the chapter, in chapter 8. Again, we're going to fly over because we can spend all of this next year in chapter 8 and still have plenty to talk about. But in verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 5, it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Jump down to 14 through 16. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And this clearly says that you have to be a son. You have to be a daughter of the Most High. And this is the only way real change happens. And our young adults are confused. They're confused because this is of navigating this life. Whenever a child is in its adolescence, he makes about five important decisions every day. The transition to adults who make about 30 important decisions every day magnifies the responsibility of the decisions of these young people. And if they don't understand what is said here, they get discouraged, they lose hope, and they want to quit. And that's really what's happening right now in the church with this group of people. We need to be aware of this. We have confused ourselves, confused these kids. It's not by prayer. It's not by attendance at church. It's not by the songs you sing. It's about a relationship with Jesus. It's a supernatural thing that happens when he comes in us and we live by the Spirit. I own a shoe store in town, and we are entering into marathon training or marathon season. The weather's starting to get nicer. Marathons are starting to pick up. And I've been to a lot of these races. And you encounter two people while you are out there on the course. You encounter, number one, happy and mean. You want to meet happy, because happy is going to be next to you saying, keep going, you look great. You know, you're almost there. Don't quit. More often than not, you're going to meet grouchy and grumpy. And he's going to say, you look horrible. You need some water. You know, you need to get out of here because you don't look like you're going to finish this race. Or you need to quit. Or this is too hot. And it's funny because you can actually be both of these in the distance of one race. You can be happy. You can be grouchy. And this is very comparable to the Christian walk. The high moments, the low moments. Every year, at the beginning of the year, I have huge ambitions. I go and get I go to the Mardell bookstore and I get the biggest, Bible study course that I can find. It's usually by John MacArthur. And I say, I'm going to do this year. And it's me and God are going to get close. We're going to do this right. And then I get three pages in. And then I somehow it makes its way to the bottom of my bookcase. And then I don't see it till a year later. And then the level of dust on it's actually bigger than the book. And I'm ashamed. And Paul specifically says, you are going to make a change where you are going to be nicer, where you're going to have a better attitude. You're going to be better. We get stuck. And that's where we all are. Let's make this very clear. We are all here. Romans 8:1 talks about our position. And this is an encouragement to these young people. It talks about our position in Christ Jesus. Verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ. We need to encourage the young people that are in our lives that they are in Christ, they are believers, and that position can't change. Once they have accepted, believed, and received this, it cannot change. This is one of the most misunderstood things in our faith today. Our position. I think of it as credentials, okay? I think of it as one of my favorite stories where there's two police officers, okay? And there's a rookie and there's a seasoned veteran. And they're on the job. They're in the patrol car and they see a traffic light out. Go out, direct traffic while I call the transportation office and get things sorted out. Young rookie runs out there, gung-ho, and he's shy, but he's willing. He's timid, but he's willing, and no one seems to see him, listen to him. Cars pass him by. Nobody's listening to his directions. The veteran runs out there. After seeing this, with his whistle in his mouth, his hands in the air, badge out, at the top of his lungs, directing traffic, and controls the direction of the motorists. Now, if I were to ask you which one of these officers has the most authority, Most of us would say the veteran officer, but that's not true. These two officers have the position of officer. They both have the same amount of authority. They have the same exact position. The veteran only understood how to utilize that position better. And that's where these young people live. They are new to this faith. They are new believers. This position in Christ, this what that they have been granted, has not been battle tested for like many of us. It just plain hasn't had enough time to grow and where they can trust that. They need help and encouragement in this position, in understanding this position in Christ, and that they can count on it. Because the world that they live in is based on these accolades. It's based on this media place that they live. They are constantly putting stuff out to get response. And usually trying to get good response. They post a picture to get likes and shares. They try to get all these apps going and communicate with as many people as they can so that they can feel connected. And they have these filters on their phone that make their life look more attractive so more people wish that they could be in their life. This standard of life is very far-fetched that Christ has already approved them if they are a believer, no matter what. Because guess what? They're always seeking approval from their peers. And this constant approval from Christ literally does not connect in their mind because they've never seen anything like that. Secondly, Paul talks about no condemnation. It's granted us an extermination of condemnation, that we may feel and have this little voice and may be able to communicate with condemnation, with you know, that little voice that you hear, you know, that, oh, you attended church Sunday, but now you're doing this on Monday. You know, that was a great talk you had with them, but look at you now. We may have communication with condemnation, but it really has no foothold and has no stronghold on us because of our position, because of what Jesus did. And this is rampant, guys. Our youth believes that it's your God is close or God is far. I hear so many times them saying, "I'm so far from God right now. I got saved at camp one year, but I'm so far from Him. I believed in Him one time, and I need to get right." And they feel like it's based on this performance. So confused. If they were to believe in its true salvation, there's no distance between Jesus and them. He's with us. He's in us. We need to end this, and we need to be specifically pouring in. There's no in and out. Not because you did this, you're out. And because you did this, you're in. 86% of the youth and young adults leave the church at this season of life. And I truly think it's because they have literally condemned themselves out of church. They don't think that they are worthy to come in and be in here because they are so far from God. They can't be around other people. And a lot of times they do come back. Studies are showing that people are coming back to the church after they get out. That is true. A lot of times though, it's impersonal. It's for their kids. They know they had a good time at church whenever they were young, and they're coming back for the different classes or for the social aspect or for childcare. But when we grow more faith grounded, we start to understand that God never leaves. But we expect these children to just instantly know that, for these youth to know that, believing that there is no condemnation is just such a foreign concept for these young people. And we need to be there with grace, with patience, helping guide them along. Paul ends up going in to Bree to live in the Spirit. Verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." So that's non-believers, right? This is where it's talking to us, talking to the believers. "But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Again, this is not a performance verse. This is a positional verse. In Christ, we now live according to the Spirit. There is no back and forth. I'm sure you guys have all heard someone, you know, it was more prevalent back a while back. The one holy roller talking to the other one saying, "Hey brother, you're living in the flesh. What you're doing there is living in the flesh." And that's wrong. If you truly believe the person that you're talking with is a believer, there's no jumping back and forth. And that's why our young people are exhausted in their faith. They're literally jumping from one side to the other, and you see it on their face that they don't match up. They can't earn this. They're trying to earn it by their accolades and by their deeds. It's just, they're very confused. And that's why this burden is on my heart. And now you live with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, instead of looking at our personal performance, these youth looking at their personal performance, they understand what Jesus Christ already did. Verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Our focus turns to Him. They're led by the Spirit of God. This is how it plays out in real life. Young person comes back from camp. They got invited by a friend, and real life happens. They go back to a regular lifestyle. They go back to hang out with the friends that they were hanging out before they went to camp and encountered Jesus Christ and had salvation. And it's really funny because they stick out like a sore thumb. They overnight, within an instant, they become a bad sinner. They realize what they did before, listening to that music, listening to the music with all these cuss words, watching the movies with all these scenes that are too young for their eyes. Overnight, within an instant, they start to realize that's not God's plans for their life. And this is exactly what verse 14 is talking about, is that everything now is different. And this is a good thing. This is a good thing that's going, but a lot of times it gets crushed. The spiritual formation is begun. And they think, you know, they're going to just jump in to, you know, some of the heroes of the faith, Billy Graham. They feel like they're going to be there in a short time. And we know that doesn't happen. Verse 16 goes on and says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." This is also good news, because the kid that starts to understand that his spirit is different has realized that something has changed. And this is very, very good news. And that they start to realize that they are the son and the daughter of the Most High God, because their spirit, there's something different in their lives, driving them. And then all this happens, and it comes back that you still have this embarrassing desire, this embarrassing thought of when you were an adolescent. And we expect our kids to be able to push through that, you know, the first time. Expect a lot out of these kids. And a lot of times they'll overcome. They'll be able to do that. But a lot of times they're going to mess up. But the good thing is, again, going back, they have a realization that something has changed in their life. And that they have a Father in heaven who is planning out something bigger for them. So they're able to push that aside. They're not going to do it 100% of the time. But they are going to now, if they do it once, it increases that muscle, that faith muscle. And then they are eager for the next step that God has for them in life, for the next move that God is planning for them. And that's where it all changes, guys. This young group has so much change. And we have been through it. And now it's our time. And now it's our responsibility. It's really our burden to make sure that we help walk with them through this time. Real change happens not by a list of rules, by a list of things that will get you closer to God, but it comes through spiritual formation that is formed and given by the Spirit and through truth. Culture says, don't go to your parents with your sin. Don't go to anyone that you, in your church with your sin. They will punish you. They will ridicule you. Don't tell anyone that what you're struggling with. Because it's what you do. It's our responsibility to go, because we know they're not perfect, to be open with them, to tell them about our struggles, to be honest with them, to gather around them, encourage them during this transition. It's not going to happen in a day. It's not going to happen in a year. It might not even happen in 2 years. But if we're not purposeful, if we're not committed to these young people, the statistics are going to keep moving in the direction they're moving. But if we decide to take these young people under our guidance, we don't have a ton of them here even at Kelview. When you see them, it's as easy as saying, hey, I'm proud of you for coming to church. If you're in charge of specifically another ministry and you need help, go to these kids. They're coming because they want more. It's as easy as that to reach these kids. And that's all they need to get through this season. And then a good reminder of this truth. I'm excited for this group, for this season that's passing through our church here, because they look different than anyone I've seen before. I'm so excited for what they're going to do for Christ. And I'm so excited to see young people all over finally stepping up and taking care of this responsibility. And it's exciting. But you guys are the biggest part of them. You guys are the biggest encouragement to them. You guys are the what they know, and you can pour into their lives. So I'm going to close with prayer, and then I think someone is going to lead the prayer. So I'm going to let you guys close. I'm going to close with prayer, and then you guys turn over the back of the handout, and then please pray along with those points there. So Father, Lord, thank you for this evening, and that we would be mindful of this season of life and what they're going through, and how we can help, how it teaches us and it encourages us and loves on us and takes care of us and makes our mind right. And Lord, that we'll be able to go out into this world with a strong mind. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.